Fab, how you doing?
Hey, what's up, Charles?
Good, glad to see you again.
Yes.
Still in quarantine, but...
Socially distant.
Socially distant. Does this table count as 6 feet, or do we not want to incriminate ourselves right now?
Yeah, it's long enough. We're far enough from each other. We're good.
Six-ish.
I don't want the CDC in my house.
No, we cannot. So, but yeah, it's always great to see you, and Brawny, of course.
Yes.
So anything happened special this week for you, or?
The week before, though, 4th of July weekend,
yes.
Got to actually see family that I hadn't seen for a long time. We were outdoors,
yeah.
We took safety measures, but it was needed. I needed to see my family. It was nice. We barbecued, had a few drinks, and it was just a great time.
Where'd you guys go for the barbecue?
Our picnic area in my complex. Okay. We have a picnic area with like tables and umbrellas, and we did that, play games. It was nice.
Nice. Yeah, I was out, so actually for the 4th of July, I was out in Philadelphia, so shout out to Philly, and kind of on like a little bit of a mini retreat. I rented an Airbnb and recharge, energize.
Fancy. Yeah. I was downstairs barbecuing. You went on a social retreat.
I did say it was an Airbnb. So. But yeah, it was interesting. And this is my first Airbnb experience, by the way. So I was really kind of, I just had this psychological block when it came to Airbnbs, because I'm like, this is someone's, you know, private residence. But then a friend of mine was like, a lot more people sleep in hotels than they do at Airbnbs. So, you know, my OCD felt a lot better after hearing that. And it wasn't bad. It was a nice, nice experience. I didn't do one of those share rooms thing. The refrigerator was in the bedroom. And not like a mini fridge, like the full.
Like an actual full-size fridge.
But it was the best thing in the world. And I was like, this should be a thing where you just...
If I didn't care about looks, I can definitely see why a full-size refrigerator would be amazing in your bedroom.
It makes so much sense.
They should actually, architects should design some kind of contraption, like a hidden wall or something that you can keep a refrigerator.
Yeah, no, this was like right next to the TV. So, but it was just it was so convenient to just be able to, literally get up out of bed and then walk over to the fridge. I don't know if that's good for a diet, but I totally enjoyed it. It was like always one of the best things that happened to me.
Awesome.
That weekend. And a lot's been happening.
Yeah, I feel like this has been a pretty busy week.
Yeah, besides the pandemic, we got the Smiths, Will and Jada.
And entanglement.
That's like the buzzword of the century at this point is entanglement. Have you ever been in an entanglement before?
I cannot say that I have. No, not how she describes it. But I think that I really like that word. There are some situations that I would have not called relationships. I would call them more entanglement.
Yeah, looking back, I would definitely be relabeling a lot of things.
Yeah.
And it just sounds so fluid, it sounds just so acceptable, you know?
In New York, right, we use a lot of slang to describe relationships. Like, we're talking to, we're messing with.
Yeah.
I've even heard, I'm dealing with a person, right? But entanglement sounds classy.
Oh, very classy.
It?
Yeah. That's like upscale, next level. So shout out to Jada. Introducing us to entanglement. But, so this has been a really hot topic, right?
Yes.
Started with August, did an interview, and put it out there that he was in a relationship with Jada. Not that long after, Jada and Will used their roundtable platform to address some of the rumors. And I guess we could argue at some other point if that helped or hurt the situation. But I think what's really interesting is I think there's a conversation that isn't happening, right? There are a lot of people talking about different aspects of it. Will's demeanor, right? He looked like he was on the verge of tears.
He looked like somebody killed his favorite puppy. That's what he looked like.
Maybe that's what Jada actually did. that started the whole thing. Is that what it was?
Yeah, I don't know.
Like John Wick? Like when
but,
they, when they
you know,
his
he's
dog.
A professional actor. You would think that he would be able to put on a poker face.
Listen, man, hurt is hurt. So they've been out there discussing this, but we've been talking about, what does this mean from the other side, right? Like, let's talk about this idea of open relationships. I'd like to kind of have a dialogue and a conversation with you, really taking a bit of a, hopefully, an unbiased look at this. We asked you guys to join us today on this journey with us as we discuss the pros and cons of open relationships.
This is In My Opinion, a course I seat into the sometimes quirky and lively conversations between two friends from grad school. We talk about everything and nothing, blending social commentary with strong opinions, often entertaining, sometimes serious, and all the way civil. You know, the way you wish the world would be.
Again, this conversation and topic that has been, you know, really, I think, saturating social media, creating its own memes, right? I mean, it's amazing.
They have ruined the cartoon Tangled for me.
Oh my gosh, did you see the one where they did the clip, the really, like, probably the most popular and famous clip from Fresh Prince?
Yes.
Where he has the moment with Uncle Phil about his dad.
And they made it about, yes. Tough being in the public eye, man.
I mean, people are quick, though. I have to get credit. I don't know who made that, but someone just really sat around and was like, now's the time to use this clip.
The internet shows no mercy.
No, they really don't. But again, you know, we want to take a look at this idea of open relationships. And full disclosure, I am not in an open relationship. I am in a relationship, but I'm in a monogamous one. And have been that way my entire life. It's just kind of how I've been taught and raised to think about things. So I'm not coming from a background or perspective of someone who's lived that way before. How about you, Fab?
Yeah, so I'm single, but I am extremely monogamous. But just kind of being in the dating scene, and I've kind of encountered people who are in open relationships. Hmm. And I've also have friends who have had this sort of arrangement. So I'm also looking at it from a place where it's feels very different than what feels normal and authentic to me.
Yeah, and we want to be able to explore that, and I think that's a great point. But before we get too deep into it, I think it's important that we, at least for ourselves and also for the sake of the audience, you know, have kind of a unified definition of what an open marriage or relationship is actually defined as. So
yeah, because I think a lot of people hear the word open relationship and they may think, oh, that's, you know, having your cake and eating it too.
Yeah.
But really, an open relationship is a marriage or a relationship when both partners agree to share a non-monogamous lifestyle with the consent and knowledge of all parties involved. And this can include anything from sexual to emotional parameters.
Nice. So it's not really a free-for-all.
Right.
Right. Which is, again, like you said, I think that's how most people define it. That's how I usually think about it when I hear it. It's like, oh, you just get to sleep with whoever you want to sleep with.
Will and Jada's situation had me kind of look into what this really means, so that I'm a little bit more educated on this lifestyle.
Yeah, and I think that's important, right? And I think, like most things in life, if it's not something that you are comfortable with or accustomed to, have been raised to believe, when you hear something that's against the way that you've been taught or, you know,
brought up,
that you just kind of discredit it.
Yeah.
And to be, you know, full disclosure, I felt that way about open relationships and people in open relationships, that, you know, they don't have the willpower to be committed to one person, right? It's kind of this, like, you're just out of control. And this is just giving you a way to live out your fantasies.
Right, right. You have your cake and eat it too.
Yeah.
Right.
But I've actually heard someone say, isn't that what you're supposed to do when you have cake? It's like, what? Do you want me to have the cake and not eat it?
That is kind of a bad expression.
And I was like, yeah, actually, that's true. You're actually supposed to have your cake and eat it. Like, what's the point of having it?
Yeah.
But yeah, so, you know, I think it's great that we're having this conversation because we don't come from that background. And I think in thinking about how we have this conversation, you know, we want to take an unbiased approach and look at it. It's also important to recognize that people have a right to choose how they want to live their life, right? Like the kinds of partners that they find, what parameters they agree on. And I think we have to be a bit careful that we don't just go around condemning people because they're not doing what we think they should do.
Yeah, especially when you don't fully understand what they're doing, right? I think that that's something that we do so often, that we don't like something, but we don't understand it, and then we just fully judge it. So hopefully we can come out of this conversation with a little bit of a better understanding of what it means to be in an open relationship.
So one way that we thought about approaching this was to kind of dissect it a bit, right? Just consider these different elements of having an open relationship and what might be attractive or a good thing that can come out of this, right? Recognizing that there are some good aspects to it. What might be the not so good things, you know, the things that might be kind of a negative, have a negative impact, either on the individual or the parties involved, or even in other people who are just affected by that circle of relationship. And then the complicated, or what we'll call today the entangled.
That is my new favorite word. We're going to use that old time now.
So let's kind of take this category by category. We have a few here, and...
And can I say, why don't we start with the bad? Because ooh. I think the bad is going to come really easy to us, just based on how we see things,
fair
right?
enough, yeah.
So we can start there and then move towards the good and complicated.
Okay. You want to go first? What do you think in your mind, when you think about this idea of an open relationship, what could you foresee... Not just for yourself, but for anyone else, being something that would have a negative impact in that kind of relationship.
So I think for me, like the first instinctual thought that always came up when I either met someone in an open relationship that was either trying to date me or whether in my personal life, knowing a friend that was in an open relationship, I always felt it defeats the purpose of being in a relationship. Why be married? Why be in a committed relationship if you're unable to kind of be connected to just another person? So I think part of that really redefines what a committed relationship is supposed to look like and brings elements that may not feel natural to people that are married or people who are seeking to be married.
Yeah, I mean, it does seem like it's counter to what the idea of commitment should be. And it's almost like you're trying to force this idea or this concept into something that doesn't necessarily fit together. But again, that's our limited perspective in it. But I do agree, right? Just kind of this idea of, well, let's be committed to each other and then also other people, right?
Yeah, and one of my favorite things of becoming an adult, you know, is like I come from a big family. I'm the oldest of five. So one of my favorite things is that I don't have to share anything anymore. The last thing I want to do is share my partner with anyone.
So can I be honest with you?
Yes.
I had this conversation with a few friends in a group chat, and I told them that the highlight of my day was I went to the store and got my favorite snack.
Yeah.
And then I was able to eat the snack without my kids around. We're talking about sharing people. I don't even like to share. I don't like to share a bag of chips here. So maybe we're the problem. I don't know. Are we selfish?
Maybe,
you know what?
Maybe we're selfish.
You're just plain selfish, Fab. You're just thinking about yourself right now.
I never like the concept of sharing. I hated it. I hated it, hated it, and hate it to this day.
And this is also validating for me because I'm an only child.
Oh, yeah. You take sharing to a different level.
No. I don't want to hear that now. No, you just admitted that you don't like sharing.
I do.
All right. So I certainly agree with you there. I think another aspect of this that may not be such a positive outcome, I think that it almost kind of creates an easy out for people. Mm. And I'm not going to generalize this and say in every situation, people in open relationships are running away from doing the difficult work. But I certainly think there's something to be said. If there's an out, naturally, people are going to want to take that. And if we're getting into an argument, you know, and if there are, you know, multiple people involved in this open relationship and I'm having a disagreement or a rough night or whatever, just natural things that happen in any conversation
human
or relation,
stuff.
Human stuff,
yeah.
Then... I know that I've got this other person that I can go to and just get away from this situation.
Yeah, and I think that often enough, we look to other people to fulfill our own needs. Having the option to have multiple people that can give us different things sometimes can sort of be a replacement for us actually working on ourselves so that we don't
have to depend on others for our own fulfillment and happiness.
Yeah, and I think that on some levels, it becomes a bit of a way that we approach not just relationships, but just things in general. People don't like conflict, right? Just the idea of having conflict avoidance and just having that option to be able to get out whenever you want. I think open relationships can just make that process a lot easier. The next thing that I think could be a negative to this, I just think it can really spread you thin. I mean, it just sounds exhausting.
Listen, I always thought people that were in, like, that have polyamorous relationships where they have 1, 2, 3, 4 wives, I just always thought, how do they do it?
Yeah.
I barely have enough of a capacity to devote myself to one person. I cannot see myself being able to do that with 2, 3, or 4 people. It definitely requires, I think, a higher level of intention that I have been able to achieve.
And not just intention, but tolerance. Like, I don't even like people all the time.
Yeah, you can be a little antisocial.
That's not what this episode is about right now. But
that's a great point, right? It's like you learn to put up with little pet peeves. You learn to grow with one person, and then you have to factor in another person. That takes work. That's a lot of work.
No, that would totally be draining. I would probably quit like a weekend. Just be like, you know what? This doesn't work. This is not working out for me. But yeah, that really for me is just a big turnoff. Like just the idea of that, even just from, and not just from an emotional standpoint, but even a monetary one, right? Like, I mean, you're sharing finances, you're sharing resources, time, energy. That just seems like a lot in and of itself. And I wonder, how people in those relationships, if they're being really honest, how that impacts just their daily lives.
Right.
You know, just having the ability to be able to keep up with all of that. So I think we've done a good job at being able to kind of highlight some of those not so
great aspects.
Great aspects of it.
Yeah, I think so. At least from our point of view.
Yeah. as experts in open relationships. Yeah. Let's take a look at the good now.
Okay.
So what do you think might be something that, if all things considered, and thinking about this objectively, what do you think might be one of the benefits of being an open relationship?
So I do think open relationships get a bad rap, right? Like a lot of things get labeled open relationships. You know, a term that I've heard is like ethical non-monogamy.
Hmm.
And it kind of creates like a way for people to honestly and openly, where you're not lying to your partner, you're not betraying their trust, satisfying a need that you may have that may not be able to be satisfied in that relationship, but that relationship is so important to you that you do not want to give that up. So I do think that when done with parameters and rules, and when people are being really honest with each other and what does that mean, that it looks a little bit different and may avoid breaking up a family. Mm. You know, divorce rates are through the roof.
Yeah.
And often infidelity is a culprit of that.
Absolutely.
And this creates sort of a detour from it.
Yeah, I can agree with that. I think that's an honest assessment and consideration. And what I've heard in doing some research around this is that oftentimes when people are coming together with the understanding that they're entering into an open relationship, that they really kind of start off with these very specific ideals and parameters around boundaries. And in some ways, as kind of adverse to a monogamous relationship, I think people just kind of assume, you know, that this is how we're going to do things or that we're on the same page, but not necessarily entering it with really having important dialogue around, hey, you know, what are going to be the restrictions for us? Mm-hmm. So I do think that can be considered a benefit, because you're both acknowledging and recognizing that you want to have the flexibility to do this thing, and you still don't want to cheat on the other person.
Right. Or do you respect your partner enough not to lie to her about it?
Yeah,
and
that's true.
Whether you agree with the concept of open relationship or not, I think there's something to be said about being able to be honest
Yes.
and not hide what you're doing.
So the next one I would take a look at. Now you put this here, so I'm going to put this back on you because I'd love to hear what you meant by this. But you said that it can re-spark a relationship. So what do you mean by that?
I had to think about this as someone that's never been in an open relationship, right? So it is natural to hit a rut, mm-hmm. right? And kind of get stuck in that place. And from what I've heard, at least from the friend that I knew that was in an open relationship, is that this can bring in some energy and revitalization.
Yeah.
Can re-spark
that
relationship. In that, you know, people can start feeling sexier, just going on a first date or doing some of those things that can bring some excitement into your life that you may not have because you may have this predictability in your relationship can be good, I imagine.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's clear that being in an open relationship provides variety.
Yes.
just by the numbers, right? So for many people, I think the idea of monogamy can feel, like you said, predictable. It can feel boring. You know, for some that get excited, you know, of the idea of really getting to know someone over a long period of time, for others, that can kind of run its course, right? Mm-hmm. Like, well, what else do we have? You know, mm-hmm. what else can we figure out to add to this relationship or to this connection? If you're in an open relationship, something like that can last a lot longer because you're dealing with different people and different personalities and different ways of seeing things, that can kind of address the boring factor that right. exists in monogamy. And that can be considered stimulating. So let's get to the complicated part of this, or the entangled part of this, and consider some of the things that are not necessarily good or bad, positive or negative, but can just really be a bit messy.
Right. Or add a level of complication to the situation.
Yeah. So the first one is when someone in that open relationship catches feelings.
Yeah.
Right? Or if they enter into this relationship, you know, feeling pretty secure and sure, they set their parameters and have the conversation, but then at some point begin to change their mind and begin to see things differently and may not want to have that type of open relationship or share their partner anymore.
So, and this happened for one of my friends that I knew, is that she entered this dynamic knowing that the guy was in an open relationship and he was honest with her from the start. And at first she thought that this was something, okay, I can handle this. She didn't think anything of it. They ended up actually having a long-term relationship. So he lived with his significant other and was in an open relationship with my friend. And she fell in love with him. And she wanted him all to herself.
Yeah.
And that was a really tough dynamic for her to have to manage because it wasn't what she really ideally would have wanted. And I think she went with it. And then 2 years down the line, she doesn't want to share him anymore. And I think, like human nature, when you are intimate or when you're close with someone, that can happen. And that can make things very, very complicated.
Yeah. And I think, you know, even if you have those feelings of, you know, wanting to now be exclusive or have this other person be exclusive, you might not feel like you could even be honest about that.
Right. And now even like for her, like let's say she wanted to go to a wedding, right? It's almost like she was living a secret life. Mm. She couldn't tell her family and she told some of her friends, but not all of her friends, that she was in this open relationship entanglement because there's like a social taboo. That has another level of complication that you're kind of hiding your relationship or lying about what the relationship may be, which I think defeats the purpose of having an open relationship.
Absolutely. And I think especially for people in those relationships where their concept of openness is so important to them,
right,
to then feel like they can't be that way around right. everyone else, that's probably a frustrating space to be in.
Yes.
And I never thought about it that way, but I can certainly empathize with the idea of like, man, this is really important to me, but I can't live my truth outside of this very small circle of space.
Right. Or around that community.
Yeah. And I think another aspect of this that can get really complicated that, you know, I don't know if people necessarily consider is that when this open relationship, or when these conversations or parameters are starting between the people involved, it's done without consideration for children. Mm. Now, what I mean by that is to say, I think if children are of a certain age and they can kind of understand, you can have a conversation with them. If people are already coming into the relationship with children already established, then that could be a different scenario. What I'm talking more specifically about is that couple or the individuals that no children are involved, right? Everyone's, you know, coming into this without children. And then through the relationship, they have children. Mm-hmm. So now children are being born into what may be a very confusing situation. And what I mean by confusing is that children may not understand and grasp the concept that the adults have taken on in a way that maybe they would prefer to have had that done.
Right. And I think it requires a certain level of sophistication.
Oh, yes.
A certain, you have to be really educated on what is the best way to expose children to something like that so that it's not confusing to them, traumatic, and that they're able to kind of feel like normal parent dynamics.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think, and again, this isn't to say that, you know, children, you know, entering into this kind of community or relationship are going to be traumatized. But if they're in a world, like we mentioned before, where this is not a normal thing, this is not something that everyone's doing.
Or universally accepted, right?
Right. And they're seeing their friends, families having a certain dynamic, or they're being taught in school or in religious circles that this is how, you know, families are constructed. And then they're looking internally and saying, but why are we different? Mm-hmm. You know? So I think kind of being able to articulate that, like you said, in a way that a child can understand is not an easy thing to do. And that's for even a monogamous relationship, you know, just being able to help children understand things. It's not a very easy task.
Right. And like you said, I don't think this is something that applies just to open relationships, but it applies to anything with kids. And it's just having them in mind, especially if they are involved. Because we often think about things from like, oh, well, who's getting hurt? Hmm. But in anything that we do, it's important to be able to understand the impact of our decisions and who are we bringing into that maybe necessarily getting asked to be brought into that situation.
Yeah, and I think that was one of the things going back to the Will, Jada, and August situation that, you know, how their decision to be in an open relationship had an impact on someone outside of that. You know, even with the full knowledge of going into it, you know, it's been interesting to kind of see the response of the third party, mm-hmm. right? Which you might not necessarily be privy to all the time, but it's like, man, here's an example of something that two people decided that they were okay doing. And then this third party who is also quote unquote okay with it ended up feeling
catching
feelings
and getting hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So now that we've kind of dissected this, I'm curious, have you changed your mind?
I haven't changed my mind only because I don't think it's right for me. But I don't think that it's a wrong thing. I think that if people do it with complete honesty and if there's something that feels that it's okay for you to do, then all power to you. I don't think that we should judge things just because that may not be our experience or our preferred way of being in a relationship. But for me, like I said, I'm not a sharer. So I think that would always get in the way. I'm selfish.
We've established that, yes.
We have established that. And also, I also have this romanticized idea of love, right? Where what I envision from a partner is for me to give myself completely to them and then for them to do the same. That would feel different if someone else, if they were doing things that I would want only to be done with me, with someone else. I might not feel like that's a unique connection between the two of us. But that's just how I look at it.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that that's how everyone should look at it.
Fair enough. And I think for myself, it hasn't changed my perspective. And I do agree that this isn't for me. But I think what I have learned through this process is to be a bit less judgmental towards people who may consider that to be an option for them. You know, and I think kind of taking this journey and looking at it in these different segments, I think I can have more of an appreciation for people who are trying to figure out what works for them.
Yeah. And one thing can be said is that these people are working hard.
They are not lazy. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, they are not sitting around being lazy, because relationships with one person are hard enough. When you add that those other elements, you know that they are putting in work.
It's a fair point. I think that's a great place for us to end this segment. People in open relationships are the hardest working people. But we want to put this out there to you guys. Tell us what you think. You know, maybe you've thought about the idea of being in an open relationship. Maybe you feel constrained with just how society is, or the dynamics of your own family and the way that you were brought up. You know, but taking a more open and unbiased look at this, you know, what are your feelings about open relationships? You know, what are some of the things that maybe you considered from listening to us today that maybe you didn't think about before? What makes you hesitant about entering into a relationship like that, or why you're just completely against it no matter what someone says? As always, we'd love to hear from you, and we want you to visit us at our webpage at imopodcast.com and on our Instagram at inmyopinion_podcast. Always interested to hear your thoughts and opinions, and as always,
this is our opinion. Let us know yours.